الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيد المصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام الراحمون يرحمهم الله يرحمهم الرحمن تبارك وتعالى ارحموا من في الأرض يرحمكم من في السماء أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, elders, brothers and young ones in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Over the past few weeks, South Africa has experienced such incidents and such a phenomena that it is difficult for the country to now show its face around the world. The xenophobic attacks that have taken place have smeared the reputation of the country, and each and every person within the country is ashamed that that country, which was used as an example, which was quoted as a role model when discussing or when trying to show that human beings today can exist in harmony, human beings can live with one another peacefully, that same country, our country, has spoiled its reputation in a way. And unfortunately, it was very sad that we had to experience these kind of attacks taking place. If we have to analyze in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Muhajirun left Makkatul Mukarrama and they came to Madinatul Munawwara, and we all know the level of brotherhood. They were also foreigners, as it were, almost. They were foreigners to the land of Madinatul Munawwara, but Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam paid Sahaba from the Muhajirun with those from the Ansar, and we know that they lived like brothers, in fact closer than brothers. In authentic riwayat show that at times a Muhajir, an Ansari, would tell his brother, his Muhajir brother, that I have two businesses, you take one of them. I have this property, I'll divide my house for you and you take half of it. To the extent that that Ansari Sahabi who had more than one wife, he was even prepared to divorce the one wife in order for the Muhajir Sahabi to get married. But what was the basis of this brotherhood? What was the basis for the existence of harmony between the Sahaba Ikram? If we have to analyze that, we will understand that it was the commandments and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Similarly, in the ayat of the Qur'an Kareem, which I recited at the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the state, the condition of the Muslims before the coming of Islam. Some mufassireen have said it refers specifically to the Aus and Khazraj tribes of Madinatul Munawwara that were warring tribes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. Remember the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً. When you were warring amongst yourselves, you were enemies. فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, note the words, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused harmony to come about amongst you. فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. Then you became, because of His blessing, you became brothers. So what is the lesson that we learn from this ayat of the Qur'an-i-Kareem? That true harmony, true coexistence, true peaceful existence, can only come into reality, can only be a reality if it is upon and on the basis of following universal truths, if it's following the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nevertheless, we all understand that the basic requirements, the basic morals and good character is something that has been recognized and accepted by all religions in the world. All religions in the world. You do not have to be a Muslim or from any other specific religion to know that to speak the truth is a good quality. To be honest, to be fair, to be just, not to harm the property or the person of another person. So what is then the reason? If we have to analyze, let us go back and analyze within ourselves, because the intelligent person is the person who reflects and he takes a lesson from what is happening around him. So if we have to analyze the various reasons why what has happened, then I'm sure foremost amongst them, one of them would be the gradual decline of religious awareness. Generally not only amongst the Muslims, but around the world if we look. Around the world, if we have to analyze the condition of the world today, even of non-Muslims, then we understand and we will appreciate the fact that there is almost a crazy drive towards materialism. The primary objective, the primary concern of every person is how can I achieve comfort in my material life. The basic qualities, the good morals, the ethics that were something of the past are no longer there. But as Muslims, when we have to analyze the situation, when we have to analyze the aspect of religious awareness, then it starts from the very basic aspect. What is that? That is our objective in life. As Muslims, if we analyze the Quran Kareem, we are extremely fortunate to be from those nations that has come with a clear objective and clear purpose. Our objective cannot be, it simply cannot be to acquire the material of possessions of this world. Why? Because if we have to think about it logically, if we think about it logically, then upon passing away, upon death, whatever status, whatever qualifications, whatever possession, whatever power, authority, might a person had, it ceases to exist. It is either transferred onto other people if it's property, or power is passed on to others. So how can that then be the purpose of our existence in this life? So the moment we accept this reality, then automatically it leads an individual, and we're talking to Muslims amongst ourselves when we analyze this, it automatically forces us to accept and to understand that our purpose is not the accumulation of material possessions in this world. And when that is not our purpose in life, then automatically we will appreciate and we will be conscious in every moment, in every second of our lives, of the commands and the directives that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed on us. Why? Because this is our objective in life. Our objective in life, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, that يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I have not created insan and jinn except that they worship me, except that they please me, except that they recognize me. So this is an important thing which we require. We need to sit back, reflect. Have we understood? Have we appreciated what is our objective in life? And to understand this further, in one hadith, a sahabi asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is man najat, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What is salvation? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being Jawami'ul Kalim, that prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who in a few words would be mentioned, having profound and all-encompassing meaning, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَمْلِكْ عَلَيْكَ لِسَانَكْ أَمْلِكْ عَلَيْكَ لِسَانَكْ وَلْيَسَعْكَ بَيْتُكْ وَبْكِ عَلَى خَطِيئَتِكْ. Three statements. The first was that Take control of your tongue. Be very careful what you say, when you say, how you say, and who you say it to. وَلْيَسَعْكَ بَيْتُكَ And let your house be sufficient for you. Let your house be enough for you. This has many explanations. The ulama have explained. Some have explained that it means be satisfied with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. If you have the resources to provide a spacious house, then well and good. But if not, then be satisfied with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. And thirdly, وَبْكِ عَلَىٰ خَطِيئَةِ And cry upon your sins. Mullah Ali Qari, Muhaddith Azim, the commentator of Mishkat, he explains the meaning of this. He says that هَذَا زَمَانُ السُّكُوتِ وَمُلَازَمَةُ الْبُيُوتِ وَالْقَنَاعَةُ بِالْقُوتِ حَتَّى يَمُوتِ He explains this hadith and he says, what is the meaning of this hadith? What is the lesson that we should be taking from this hadith? That this is the era, this is the age where when there is a lot of mischief, corruption, there is a lot of commotion happening around us, when we are not sure of something, we should adopt silence. Adopt silence. Don't get involved in unnecessary discussions just to try and show that we know something of the politics that is happening around us. هَذَا زَمَانُ السُّكُوتِ وَمُلَازَمَةُ الْبُيُوتِ And as far as possible, stay close to our homes. Make that the objective of be close as possible to home. Don't be roaming around unnecessarily. وَالْقَنَاعَةُ بِالْقُوتِ Which is a very important aspect. And this is the era where we should be satisfied with what we have until we die. This is a very, very key factor in ensuring that our objective stays aligned with what it is supposed to be. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu that انظروا إلى من هو أسفل منكم ولا تنظروا إلى من هو فوقكم. Look at those when it comes to your worldly possessions, position, status, power, when it comes to these things, then look at those that are of a lower social standing as compared to you. وَلَا تَنْظُرُوا إِلَىٰ مَنْ هُوَ أَسْفَلَ مِنْكُمْ وَلَا تَنْظُرُوا إِلَىٰ مَنْ هُوَ فَوْقَكُمْ Don't look at those that are of a higher social standing. Why? فَهُوَ أَجْدَرُ أَلَّا تَزْدَرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ It is more likely, it is then closer, that you will not disregard and regard as insignificant the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon you. So when we inculcate these teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we will find that our objectives will be aligned with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us in this world for. And just on this topic of shukr, one hadith which has remained in my mind since the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted me the tawfiq of reading it, a riwayat of Tirmidhi, Hazrat Ubaidullah ibn Muhsan al-Khitmi al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala an mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man asbaha minkum aminan fi sirbihi, mu'afan fi jasadihi, indahu qutu yawmihi, faka'annama hizat lahu dunya bihadafiriha. Those of you that wake up in the morning safe and sound, you're amongst your family or your tribe or your community in a safe and sound condition, mu'afan fi jasadihi, your bodily you are in a good condition. There's no calamity that has been afflicted upon you. No terminal illness has come upon you. All your limbs are in working order. And the third aspect is that عِنْدَهُ قُوتُ يَوْمِ You have enough food to keep you alive for the day. Then فَكَأَنَّمَا حِيزَتْ لَهُ الدُّنْيَا بِحَدَافِيرِيَا Let us keep these words in our mind all the time. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that it is as though the entire world full of ni'mats has been gathered for such a person. So, and to understand this hadith, to understand the reality of this hadith, we have to ask those brothers of ours that have been kicked out of their homes, those that have been abused and burnt alive, then you will appreciate the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then maybe it will create an awareness and it will create some sort of light that spark within our lives or within our minds and hearts, that there is something more to life than just accumulating material possession of this world. The state of this, it's almost a state of numbness when it comes to compassion and feelings for other people. It's unfortunate to say that by and large, because of being preoccupied with material gain, most human beings, and unfortunately many Muslims also, the condition is such that we don't have any feelings for the other human being. Recently, I experienced this myself. When a person passed away in a certain area, and the family members of that person, the person was from a very, very poor family, they could not even afford to bury, the family members could not even afford to bury the individual concerned. So they contacted some of the more wealthier people in the family. He had passed away early in the morning, around 2-3 o'clock in the morning. And they contacted the wealthier members of the family to request them for a place to bury this person, because they had a family grave. And can you imagine what the response was? Respected elders and brothers, this is not an indictment, this is not an attack on any particular person here. The objective here, the purpose of mentioning this, is to illustrate the point where mankind has reached. The point that our human beings, where we have brought ourselves to. The response was that everybody in the house is sleeping now, phone at 8 o'clock. Phone at 8 o'clock, then we'll do something. We can't worry about our comfort is more important to us now. This requires us to rethink, to sit back, to analyze, where are we going? So nevertheless, with regards to the analysis of some of the reasons why these attacks have taken place, the first one we said was the lack or the gradual decline of religious consciousness. The second reason which such things, such phenomena can be attributed to, is a general spiritual and moral decline. If you have to analyze the world around us today, even the non-Muslims will tell you that the levels of obscenity have become so low that even they sometimes feel ashamed with what is happening around. And in this respect, we can only re-emphasize and we can only be extremely grateful for the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to cut out obscenity right from the root. From the evil glance, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that zina al-ayni an-nazar, casting an evil glance is zina. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, la'ana Allahu an-nadhira wal-mandhura ilayh, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has cursed the one who looks and the one upon whom it is looked. In other words, the one who has displayed him or herself to be looked at. So these teachings, we look upon it, we sometimes look upon it very simplistically. We just pass over it, we perhaps laugh over it, that you know what, what are they saying, that we shouldn't be casting gazes at the opposite sex or at the opposite, on the opposite party. Why? We feel comfortable or we feel satisfied that we can hold ourselves back from doing anything wrong. But we have forgotten, slowly, it has eroded our moral and our basic ethics. That obscenity which used to be regarded as such a serious thing before, today, openly, anywhere that you go, it is accepted. So this is also one of the reasons. One of the reasons that because of which we have forgotten our objective. We are drifting away from where we were supposed to be heading. And in this regard, it is important and cannot be overemphasized the importance of adhering to this teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to safeguarding of the eyes. It is not in our control to stop the non-Muslims or those that are displaying themselves in to be seen in immoral and obscene ways. But at least the Muslims, let us revise, let us re-look, recalculate our direction. So this is the second reason that we could attribute. And the third reason, if we reflect over what is happening, would be the aspect of corruption. And let us not for a moment think, when we hear the word corruption, the first thing we jump upon is the government. The government is corrupt, that is why everything is wrong. Respected elders and brothers, let us reflect. As Muslims, what do we mean? What is the meaning of trustworthiness? What is the meaning of when we say corruption? Even that employee who is spending company resources or the resources of his employer at the time when he's not supposed to, or when he's in such avenues where he's not supposed to be spending them or utilizing them, this is also corruption. Why have we limited the meaning of corruption to only one aspect? And a very, very important lesson comes to mind, an anecdote, an incident, which we heard once, that a young child was playing around with, was disturbing a parent who was trying to do some work. So the parent, to keep the child busy, he took out a page from a magazine that had the world map on it, and he tore it up into some pieces. And he told the child to put the map together. Because he knew that, I mean, a young child, it's obviously going to require some sort of expertise or a lot of time before he knows where to fit the various continents of the world into. But surprisingly, the child comes back with the map completed within a short period of time. So, the father is surprised and he asks the child that, how did you manage to do this? How did you manage to put this world together? The son or the child replied that, father, turn around. On the back of that map was a human being, a picture of a man. He said, I put the man together and the world came together. I put the man together and the world came together. So when we start talking about corruption and we start talking about this one and that one and everything else wrong that is happening, let us reflect on our own lives. Let us reflect that, how are we treating those that are under us? Those that are subordinate. Is there any corruption in the way that we are treating? Is there any corruption in the way we are dealing with our wives? Is there any corruption in the way that we are dealing with people that are party to us in transactions? Then we will understand what is the true meaning of corruption. Then there are various other aspects which time has expired, but we'll try and cover just the last one. One of the things is also the rising cost of goods and services around us. And the solution to this is a very simple solution. That any human being, no human being can control their level of income, but they can control the level of expenses. And this is the advice of Hazrat Mufti Shafi rahmatullah alayh. Mufti Shafi sahab rahmatullah alayh, he said that we can control our expenses, but we cannot control our income. So let us look back, reflect, what are those things where we can cut down, which are those things where we can cut down, and then start giving preference, start revitalizing, bring alive that feeling of compassion, that feeling of care and concern for other human beings around us. And that will happen, like we said, when we reflect over our primary objective in this world. It's simply, as we said, it cannot be to accumulate the material possessions of this world. And with that, in conclusion, just to mention some verses of poetry of my Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatum, and let us keep this in mind, because these are golden words that will always keep a person focused on his objective and his purpose in life, and will give him comfort not only in the hereafter but also in this world. In a beautiful verse of poetry, Hazrat says that Sukune Jahan Tum Kahan Doomte Ho. He says, where are you looking for peace in this world? Where are you looking? Are you looking for it in material possessions, in things, in power, in strength, in status? Sukune Jaha Hai Nizame Medina. If he said, if you want the true peace of this world, peace of this world and the hereafter, then the true peace lies in the system that was brought by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nizam-e Medina, in the constitution of Medina, of Madinatul Munawwara, in those laws and those principles and those guidelines which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought for the salvation of mankind. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.